Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Punjab Chemicals and Crop Protection Q2 FY23 conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you, Mike. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants on the call of Punjab Chemical and Crop Protection. From the management, we have Mr. Shailesh Shroff, Managing Director, Mr. Vinod Gupta, CEO, and Dr. S. Sriram, CFO on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Shroff for opening remark, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you and over to you, Mr. Shroff.
First of all, thank you so much for all of you getting your time to attend to our Q2 call, and I hope the Diwali was very good. I'll hand over to Vinod. He will just give you a brief run-through on the Q2 results and the business of Punjab Chemicals.
Good morning, everybody. This is Vinod Gupta, CEO of Punjab Chemicals. First of all, welcome all of you to this Q2 earning call, and hope all of you had a good festival time and wish you all a very happy new year, as we call in Gujarati. The Q2, basically, if you all see, we have had a monsoon which was slightly erratic, which basically has had a challenge on domestic agriculture market. Obviously, this is combined with the global macro issues like high energy prices, inflation challenges in major economies, and also in some economies there is a slowdown, which has resulted into a very challenging business environment. Despite all the challenges, I am very happy to report that we have grown our top line by about 33.4% as compared to Q2 of FY22, and our export sales, that is international sales, have grown by about 65% over Q2 of FY22. So we have shown a robust growth despite all the challenges. The business environment, we have a lot of headwinds right now. In order to meet these headwinds, we have adopted a very flexible approach to business to make sure that we sustain and increase our market share, working very closely with our customers. Now, this has been achieved mainly by adopting a very flexible approach and accommodative approach on pricing. Also, we have accelerated efforts towards improving our efficiencies, technology improvement, and we have worked aggressively to tap new markets also, mainly South America. We also continue to build our organization capabilities in terms of bringing in new talent, bringing in new technologies, and also we are increasing our capabilities in operations and product development. These are all long-term initiatives, basically to create a robust and growth-oriented organization. While our business continues to remain resilient despite all the challenges and external shocks, our margins have been affected, as you must have seen in the results. This is mainly because of inflationary pressure on raw material cost, pricing pressure in certain markets, and overall product mix. At the same time, there was an impact of carryover of high cost inventory from earlier period, and this is basically getting translated to market, and this has exerted pressure on gross margins. Consequently, our EBITDA margin also is subdued, mainly because other expenses like energy cost, fuel cost, freight cost, and also business expenses, as things have opened up, we have started traveling to various markets to grab more market and more products. We will continue to invest to increase our capacity of some of the products, and also we are aggressively investing in renewing our assets because some of our assets are 30-40 year old, so that we basically make sure that business is sustainable, and this is all funded by internal accruals. We are maintaining a clear two-way communication with our teams and channel partners, and joint effort is made to improve our margins. We have immense confidence in the strong, trusted relationship we have developed with our customers and channel partners. So that's a broad outlook of business and business scenario for the Q2. I hand over now Dr. Sriram to walk you through more financials and numbers.
Hello everyone, good morning. Thanks for connecting with us on this call today.
I am Sriram, CFO for Punjab Chemicals. I will just briefly summarize our financial performance for the quarter. As Vinod has said, we continue to show a robust growth in revenue as our Q2 FY23 revenue increased almost 33.4% year-on-year to around 278.6 crores. The trend has been very positive for the year so far. Our H1 for the current year revenue is close to 550 crores, which is 31.2% higher than last year, H1 FY22. Our international business, as Mr. Vinod said, also is growing or increasing tremendously. We achieved close to 65.7% as compared to last year, the same period. One of the main concern, as we, you know, we face the challenge of various global dynamics, our gross margins are under some pressure on the raw material front, leading to drop in the gross margin, which stands at around 35.5% in the current quarter as compared to last year's quarter. EBITDA has been slightly or relatively flat in the current year, while the margins are lower. We registered an EBITDA of 31.1 crores with 11.2% of EBITDA margin in Q2 FY23. For H1, our EBITDA stands at 66.5 crores, which is around 12.1% of the EBITDA margin. Our PAT for Q2 is around 17.6 crores. And in the half year, we have touched around 37.8 crores. While our profitability is down in the first half, we continue to follow prudent financial practices to achieve our strategic growth and objectives and to meet the customers' expectations. With this, I would end my review. We would look forward to an improved outlook in the second half. We can now open for our Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question on the line of Dhamant from ITI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you. Just one question, again on the gross margin, and if you can enumerate, because in the last conference call you had mentioned that we are already in discussion with our customers to, you know, ensure that we can pass on either energy cost or the raw material cost. But this quarter seems to be another kind of watershed in terms of non-ability to pass on margins or any cost pressure, cost whatsoever. So if you can comment, how are we kind of, you know, communicating with, because here it appears that we have not been able to pass any margins whatsoever. That's question number one. And question number two, on CAPEX, you mentioned that you would be undertaking to replace some of the old machinery. So how much of the amount are we likely to kind of expend to, you know, kind of replace our machinery? If you can just comment on both these.
Yeah, so hi, Hemant. This is Shalil. Thanks for your question. And yes, we did mention in our Q1 call that we are in discussions with the customers. But please understand the market scenario over the war situation, over the cost of fuel have little bit changed. So I would comment that we are still discussing with the customers. The customers for Q2, partly few customers have agreed to absorb that cost, few of the customers have not. But we are in constant discussion with them, and we are very hopeful that by Q3, Q4 we'll be able to understand, and they will also respect to see that the costs are high. Also, please understand that we have also tried to ensure that we don't lose our market share. So in certain things, between the customer and us, we have worked out a win-win situation to, you know, where we reduce some of our costs, they reduce some of our costs so that we at least come to a reasonable market and at least we fill the market where the gap is not there. As regard to the CapEx, which as Vinod did mention that, yeah, we have certain equipments, we have certain of our utilities where we need to put in some money, so that we are already working on. We have tried to ensure that all this comes from our internal accruals as we have been very robust in our cash flows. So at the moment we don't have a figure, but eventually we will definitely get back to you, but it would be in the range of between 30 to 40 CR.
This would be for this year or for next couple of years?
30 to 40 CR is over 2 years, so from now till FY24.
Correct. And just going back to the first part, can you just break it down of how much high-cost inventory are we still kind of carrying, number one? Number two, in any of our negotiations or contracts, is it only a volume contract and there is no price pass-through whatsoever? And number three, also if you can help us understand, do the contracts also carry plus-minus variation for Forex? So beyond a certain range, does it carry Forex variation also?
So as regards to Forex, as you know that, you know, our import-export is quite equally balanced because our export is anyway higher. As far as the customer goes, yes, we do have every quarter we look at the numbers on Forex. So by and large, if you have seen in Q1 or Q2, it's not that the company has lost so much money on just because of Forex. As regards to higher inventory, at the moment, between Q1 and Q2, we have almost liquidated our high-cost raw material which we had got. Having said that, we are also discussing with the customer that how do we see that the certain cost of energy, you know, especially energy, how we can pass on. So as I mentioned earlier, that we are already in discussion with them and we are hopeful that we'll be able to once again sit on the table and take this forward with the customer. So we are very pretty confident that they also understand, because please understand that the customer also would like a supply chain to be strong, and that's where we are trying to demonstrate to them that yes, we are very strong, we are ready to work with you, we are ready to take certain haircuts, but on a more on a longer term, we need to come back to where reality comes in.
So what would be, in light of that, what would be the more sustainable EBITDA margin that you can guide for at this point in time?
So right now, you know, we are trending, which we believe we would be between 14 to 15%, but we are right now between around between 13 to 14%. So I think going forward towards this financial year, we should be within this range, yeah.
So essentially you are saying that we'll recoup and 14-15% would be the exit EBITDA multiple that you can hope to regain.
Absolutely. And then of course, as I have always mentioned, that we are also looking at more business opportunity, there are more contracts. So when the product mix comes in, that's where we believe that we will go beyond that to maybe between 15 to 16% by 2024-25. And then thereafter, we have certain projects, because please understand, in agri, every contract, every product we do, there is a gestation period for registration. That can be between 90 days to close to 1 to 2 years. Yeah. So that's where we are working in important markets, especially as Vinod in his statement said that we are looking at South America very aggressively, especially Brazil, where the registration takes time, and we are already, papers, our files have already gone in, and we are hopeful that by 23 we should, maybe late part of 23 we should have that registration. Yeah.
And lastly, if you can allow me just one more interjection.
Mr. Mathur, could you kindly come and queue for
this? This is continuation of the same question only.
All right.
In the power costs, we are dependent on a particular kind of fuel. So this CAPEX would go towards making it more multi-fuel. Is that understanding correct?
I think we will continue to use the same fuel. It's we are using rice husk as a fuel, which is a sustainable, renewable fuel for us, and that gives us an advantage with customers also. Also, over a period of time, I think there is a...
That is what has, you know, kind of hurt us in this quarter, or maybe last two quarters it has been hurting us. So would we change to multi-fuel
Mr. Hemant, I think if you look at the complete fuel basket, market has turned very smart because of the information which is getting disseminated easily. So fuel husk prices are linked to coal prices. So, I mean, all other fuels are also in the similar range. Now, as and when, suppose in future CNG becomes available in that range, in that area, we will definitely consider. But right now that is not available. So at the moment, I think we are at that particular, with husk only. Also, as the government policy to procure rice changes, we believe that gradually husk availability will again improve. As that improves, prices should soften. We are watching the market closely is what I can say.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll come back in.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. Participants are also requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. We have the next question from the line of Amar Moria from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Couple of questions. Number one, sir, even in this quarter, the Lal Roos utilization is around about 50 to 53% only. So last quarter you indicated that there was some RM non-availability issue. So that is number one. I mean, why the utilization is low even in this quarter? Should I go for the second question or you want to answer it?
No, I think let's take one by one. So as far as Lal Roos, yes, the raw material is still a question mark. And please also understand that because of seasonal, there has been a delay. So the product which could have, you know, fulfilled that part of the sales has been deferred. That doesn't mean that the order book is cancelled. The order book is just deferred to Q3, Q4.
So basically, so Lal Roos utilization will come back to, let's say, 74-75% level in Q3, Q4?
That's right.
Okay. Secondly, sir, in terms of the revenue visibility, like, you know, we normally give the number of 1500 crores kind of order book in terms of the revenue visibility. And I believe, you know, in last 2-3 quarters, we had been in discussion with many new clients, new products and all those things. So is that 1500 crore order book number has improved materially or it is still the 1500 crore number?
No, so the 1500 crore order book was for the 3 years. So beyond that, of course, we have already signed few more contracts. And I did mention that, you know, during Q2 call, we'll come back with some numbers. But as there has been certain delays, there has been certain market rectification. So we are working back on our books. But as far as moving forward, yes, the 1500 crores has increased to 2,500 crores, in which we will definitely come back to you in terms of what are the projects which are coming in and how they will flow in between the next 2 to 3 years. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, in terms of the plant level, I mean, is there any technical issue? I mean, why the utilization is not coming, or is this just a RM issue? I mean,
no. As I said, that as regard to the Lal Roos part, that it was the RM issue. Number one, there was also a delay in registration, and by the time we got the registration, the market, market for that particular country was delayed in terms of usage. So as I said, that the order book is there. It's only that it will flow in Q3, Q4.
Okay, okay. And sir, lastly, like, you know, I had requested a couple of times to the management that why don't we plan a plant visit for both of our facilities and for all the investors, not only for us.
This question you have been asking on this for quite some time. We will work something out of how to go about that. Because as you should know that, you know, we are in a very hazardous kind of a manufacturing setting. So that's the reason manager wants to have a very safe environment there. So that's the reason we are kind of reluctant to take your advice, but you know, for your point taken, we'll look at
it. We'll definitely work out. In fact, we had, you know, because COVID has opened up, so we have had a lot of visitors coming to us, you know, auditing, because, you know, from a Japanese to a European to an American, they have not come. So, you know, in fact, me and Vinod have been, you know, juggling around, you know, how to get them, you know, properly balanced. Even this week, we have three Japanese companies visiting. Next week, we have Israeli visiting visitors. So we will definitely look into it, and we'll definitely plan it during December, because December, the weather is also nice in Chandigarh, and we'll organize it properly to, you know, organize to have this. So we'll come back to you shortly soon with this reply. Yeah.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Sir, I wanted to check on two things. You know, the revenue, absolute revenue number is doing very well. Just wanted to understand what is the progress on CRAMS within that in the half yearly basis, because that's the biggest growth driver for us. And when I have to understand the gross margin, which of the business area is the gross margin pressure coming from? Or, you know, because if our growth driver was CRAMS, and CRAMS is where we was a higher margin business and more back-to-back. So in order for our better understanding, if you could give slightly more detailed assessment on which part of the business is seeing gross margin issue.
Yeah, so as far as the CRAM business goes, as you know, Punjab Chemical, we are the leading supplier, and we want to be one of the leading suppliers to many multinational companies. And this robust growth is there. Every day there is inquiry. Every day we discuss with various customers, with the existing as well as new. So that business will be definitely the driver towards moving forward. Also, what we have done is that there are, in the next couple of years, there are lots of products which are getting off patent. So our, you know, R&D is now pretty strong. So we are also looking at innovation within ourselves, that what our R&D can bring in products where we don't only rely on the CRAM, which of course is a driver, but also within ourselves, what we can do for both international and domestic markets. So that's where the second driver will come in. As far as the margins are concerned, as we have already said, that, you know, there is a pressure from both market as well as between us and the customer. So that's where we have discussed and sat with them, that we don't want to lose the market, but let's try and rectify in both areas, where we as a supplier and they as a customer, how we can work as a win-win situation. And that's where you have seen there is some pressure on the margin, because certain raw material prices, if you see over the years, have gone very, very high, and gradually that dip is coming in. So we are very hopeful moving forward, things should fall in place.
Sir, my question was, which part of the business, any specific part of the business seeing margin pressure? Because see, we have domestic AgChem supply, then we have the export within which we have CRAMS, and then we have the cola company supply. Any part of the business seeing gross margin issue, or it's across the board?
I would say it's you know, if you see our phosphorus, or the, you know, the phosphorus derivative which we supply within Coca-Cola, Pepsi and others, so that's where we have had a little bit of pressure, because, you know, at that time China was not very aggressive. But again, having said that, with the policy which many companies have adopted, that they also would like to have a second source, and we are part of it, so that's where we have seen a good margin drop, and we believe over the next quarter, or maybe beginning by next year, we should not go back to where we were, but we should come between that 16% to 18%. As far as agri in the domestic market, there has been a little slowdown, so that's where the margins have also been in pressure. But by and large, internationally, with our CRAM customers, within Japanese, Europeans, it's quite fair. Only where on a product by product, depending on the market, depending on that situation to grab that market, we have put it down. So on the CRAM, I would say close to 20%, where we have taken a little bit haircut on the margin. But we are pretty sure that we'll go back to the numbers which we have been talking about.
This was helpful, sir. The 14% margin that you mentioned to one of the participants for FY23, 14 to 15, so you'll recover a bulk of your margin in H2, that's what you want to point out?
No, so today what I'm trying to say that, you know, that's where was our plan, but because of the cost high and the raw material situation, we believe we should achieve that, but I would put it will be between 13 to 14%, yeah.
And so, I will add
one more point. So I think what we are saying is that the sustainable effort, efforts is towards going towards sustainable of 14 to 15% and maybe slightly higher. Now, yes, in the interim period, if there are some adjustment required, that will continue.
And so last, if I have to track the cramps progress, I have to track the Lal Roos capacity utilization. Is it correct or am I wrong here?
Yeah, I mean, you can, because, you know, we have also space in Dharavati as well as Lal Roos. So, yeah, eventually it would be the larger part would be from Lal Roos.
Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, over the medium term, earlier we have guided 16 to 18% EBITDA range. So are we still holding on to that or is there any downward revision?
No, no. I mean, as I said, that is where we will eventually be there with the new products and the new business coming in. As I said, that in the registration process has been a little bit delayed. So we believe our approach is to go back to that 60. I mean, to target at that 16 to 18%.
Only thing is, ride is a little bumpy. That's all I can say. So we may see some bumps in between, but we are working in that direction.
But the target is still FY25 or it is beyond 25, you are saying, sir?
I'd say FY25.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Bhavesh Johan from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
So can you give us the volume growth that has happened in Q2?
In volume in terms of product?
Yeah, sir, absolutely.
Yeah, so on the agri sector, especially in the herbicide and fungicide sector, we have grown, as I said, to get newer markets, where especially in Latin American block, South America, yeah.
So, but it is possible to quantify how much the sales growth was very strong, but between volumes and price, if you could...
But if you have to compare like to like, we are about 15% growth.
Okay. And sir, do we still maintain the 1500 crores of sales guidance for FY24 that you've been talking about?
Yes, very much. Maybe beyond that also.
Okay. And sir, beyond that, you were actually in a previous quarter, you've been saying that we'll come out with a plan to talk about sales growth beyond FY24. So when can we expect that?
Yeah, so as I said that we were planning to, I mean, roll it out in Q2, but we should be anywhere between, before Q3 or Q4. We'll do that.
Okay. And sir, lastly, we had said that margin was impacted because of high-cost inventory, and I believe that the commodity prices have more or less come off in the last 3-6 months. So we are likely to see significant margin improvement in Q3, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think the statement that commodity prices have come off is not 100% correct, because, you know, each commodity is behaving differently depending on international market. Yeah, I mean, so I think that's where we see changes from time to time. But overall, I think we will see advantage of any price correction in our margins.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ayush Agarwal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
I hope I'm audible.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So a couple of questions from my end. One is, if you can, you know, talk about our new products that we have been very, you know, bullish about, like the Singapore customer, Nippon Kayako, products like, you know, Thiocyclam and ProSulfocarb. How are they scaling up?
Sorry, yeah. So the product which we do for MK, that product, as you know, that you know the gravity of the business is much higher, but registration is as and when the registration are falling in place. So we believe the potential of this product, which we believe would have come this year, unfortunately because of the COVID and certain delays in few markets, the registration has been delayed. So we believe the full potential should come in between 23-24.
And the other product, sir, for Singapore customer?
With that also, as we said, the registration came in late. By the time the season was deferred, and there also would fall in during 23-24.
Understood. And so my second question is on our expansion. So I think at Dehradun, we are already running at 85% plus capacity, and we are talking about a huge order book jump. So what kind of capacity are we, you know, creating apart from doing replacement of our current assets? So if you can, you know, clearly explain to us, you know, in metric terms, how are we expanding our capacity over the next 2 years, and what capacity expansion are we envisioning?
I think overall what we are approach we are taking is that for Dehradun, because a lot of products are mature product, so we see year on year growth of say 5-7%. So that capacity we are simply increasing by debottlenecking. So maybe changing some equipments, improving some processes and all. So that's where Dehradun will continue to add capacities depending on the market requirement. Majority of capacity addition will come from Dalru. That's where we have a space also for expansion, and that's where we have actually invested in last quarter also in one of our products. That particular product has a very bright future going forward, and that's where our capacity additions will come. I won't like to quantify in terms of metric ton, because that's something where we don't want to sort of, mainly because of the confidential reason, we don't want to just comment on that.
And also please understand that moving forward, you know, today at the end, our aim is to cross 3,000 plus in terms of sales in the next 2 to 3 years. So that's where we are also looking at a site within Maharashtra, Gujarat. So that's also been happening. Fortunately, we had looked at one place which we were ready to sign off, but unfortunately, there were certain issues where our legal department did not allow us to go ahead with it. But we are hopeful that within this financial year, we should be able to identify, and that would definitely bring in more, because the way we are getting inquiries, the way we are discussing with our ongoing and new customers every day, we believe this could be an opportunity where we need to take it fast and then commercialize into productions. Yeah.
It was safe to assume that we would be spending more close to 100-200 crores in the next 2-3 years on expansion in Lalru and the new facility?
Maybe a little more. It depends on the product, depends on the product nature. And when I say nature, means whether it is hazardous, obviously chemical means whether it's acid or it's whatever. So yeah, I mean it would be a little bit beyond 100, so maybe between 120 to 150 CR, yeah.
Understand. So final question is on our, you know, if you can help us understand what are the key raw materials where we are seeing, you know, a huge price increase which is leading to lower gross margins, because I, from what I can see, hydrazine hydrate is already going down. I mean, in current terms, of course, we will start buying now, but if you can chart out the key raw materials for us and where we are seeing price pressure from.
Overall, as you rightly said, hydrazine hydride had, you know, gone to an unbelievable pricing, you know, which really affected not us, but affected worldwide. And yes, there is taperness coming back. But I mean, overall, you know, cost in terms of, you know, as you know, that we try and develop more and more vendors in India, but even the cost in India with the electric and the power is going up. And also we have decided, I mean, we have already been working with Europeans and US. So we see a drop, but we don't see a bigger drop. But over the years, we have been discussing with the customers, and we believe that where we would be going back to where the prices were, maybe around a year, year and a half back, should fall in place, you know, Q1, Q2 of next year. Yeah.
Understood. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Keshav from Raxin Investors. Please go ahead.
Sir, in the CRAMS basket, can you talk about what percentage of revenues are coming from the molecules that have become generic in last 3 to 4 years, and what kind of generic pressure or participation are we seeing in those molecules?
So in CRAM, you know, we have two. One is our generic, which is close to around 40%, and around 65% is CRAM. So the balance is innovative products where we have a technology transfer with two Japanese companies and one more which is happening.
Okay. Sir, I was reading that even for post-patent expiry, it's very difficult for generic players to take market share of the innovators. That is even after the SPCs expire. So what's your opinion about that firstly? And why I ask that is because to basically understand if, when we forecast for the kind of growth we expect in the medium term, is it this assurance of the innovator business being difficult to take market share from that helps us forecast the kind of scale?
So there are two aspects. In innovator products is people who are already making by themselves in their own country or they are buying it from China. So we as Punjab Chemical, we have always said that we like to work on this CRAM business. So we are already in discussion. It is very preliminary with one or two companies where we are looking at these off-patent products, which we believe we have the expertise, we believe we have the knowledge, and they themselves will be visiting the site to take further notice, because one is now that with COVID everything opening, people are freely to travel. So we are looking into three aspects. So one is that we do with our own R&D, generic, where we believe we can get the market share. Two is we work with innovators where we can look at expanding our business. And three is where we look at China Plus. So if people are, and there are some customers who are already in touch with us who have some questions related to supply chain, and that's where we will fill that gap in. Yeah. So that's where our approach would come towards products which are going off patent.
So, sir, for example, if we onboard an innovator customer and the product is still a late-stage product and it goes off patent in, say, another couple of years, so post that, we'll service that product in only in a CRAMS capacity to the innovator, or would we also go for the generic market? That is basically what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, so if the product is a technology transfer, and in generally, by and large, we work with that customer itself because that's the loyalty, number one. Number two is when we have started to work, when it was a patented or off-patented, we would like to work with them, continue with them, because then we don't only look at that product, we look at multiple opportunities with them. As I said, today with a customer, I'm not looking at doing a $1 or $2 business. I want to look at, in the next 3 to 5 years, how can I bring it to $3 to $8 to $10 business, yeah?
Exactly. And sir, I mean, that is where the generic question also sort of comes in, that how difficult is it for, say, a product that is going generic right now, for some third party to take market share from? Because from what I have preliminary, my understanding on this space is that it is not that easy. So even post-expiry, the market share is fairly, it stays with the innovator for at least a few years. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it depends. I mean, you know, if a product goes out of the patent, then obviously, you know, the customer or the patent holder goes back to the EU or go back to US or go back to Australia, whichever world the market is. He go back and ask for more data for whoever, like, for example, Punjab Chemical is entering. So what we do is that we do a proper backup homework. So today, if you're going to launch a product which we are going to compete with the generic, we always work back in terms of what money we need to spend. And I agree with you, it is not that easy that, you know, once it goes off patent, that tomorrow morning I can start selling. But within the next, between 1 and 3 years, depending on the market, whether it's Europe, US, Latin, or rest of the world. So it depends geographically, that's where we try and fulfill, where we can easily get an access once it goes patent, that we can launch it within the first, 2 years. Yeah.
Sure. Sir, and lastly, are we
working on... Could you kindly come back in queue for follow-up questions?
Sure, thanks.
Participants, I request you to kindly restrict your questions to 2 per participant. We have the next question from the line of Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I just have one question. Now, in the first half, if you see our revenue growth has been quite strong, right, over 30%. Now, how sustainable is that 30% growth? Now, specifically given that the second half might have a higher base. Yeah.
So, as we already have said that, you know, we are driving towards the existing products to get market share and also with the newer products to be launched. So, we believe, you know, where we have drawn our plan of a 1500 crore order book position. So, last year we were at around, close to around 700. This year we believe we should be anywhere between 11 to 1150. And the other would be, going forward, would be 1500, yeah.
So 1100 to 1150 crores of revenue in FY23 and FY25, we might be looking at 1500 crores plus kind of a revenue.
That's right.
And FY24 might be somewhere in between, right? I mean, largely.
Oh yeah, because you know by the time we have certain products, registration and all, so we believe we should be higher than that, yeah.
Fair enough.
For 25, yeah.
Yep, fair enough. All the very best, sir. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in a total sale, if you can give us the breakup of sales between trams and, spot sales, and how do you see this ratio going forward over the next 2-3 years?
As we have already told you that, you know, 60 to 65% of our business is tram sale. The other is industrial as well as, we call them performance chemicals. So it is the performance chemical falls in industrial into, intermediates and specialty chemicals. So even to give that breakup, we would be close to 15% in terms of specialty and industrial chemical and the balance, 15% or maybe a little bit more, 20% would be into the intermediates and fine chemicals, yeah.
So the remaining 35-40% that you have talked about, that will be on spot basis. It's not a long-term contract that we will be having for specialty chemicals, apart from the 60-65% grams portion that we have.
Yeah, so it's basically not spot business. It's the product which we are already selling. You know, it's like phosphoric acid, which goes to Coca-Cola Pepsi. Now, if Coca-Cola Pepsi decide to shut their shop, then it's a different thing. Then it becomes difficult. But we have an ongoing contract on a year-to-year basis. But there are certain products like commodities, in terms of like sodium nitrite. We look at the phosphoric acid, not the higher grade, but the local grade. That's more or oxalic acid, we say. That's more on a quarterly basis. We have orders. We don't have anything on spot which we look at. So we always have between 1 to 3. So every quarter, we exactly know that whether the remaining of the business, which is how much is the order position, what is where we need to be flexible and take it forward. So maybe 5% or maybe under 5% would be a spot, like, you know, products like sodium nitrite or something like that, you know, which is very comparatively very less. And today's planning, I think, after COVID, everybody has realized that we need to have a proper understanding with the customer to ensure a smooth supply chain. Yeah.
Sure. And how do you see the ratio of trams in our business in FY24 when we are planning to reach 1500 crore of top line?
As I said, you know, every day we have more and more inquiries and more new customers. More and more even old customers want to do, you know, as I said, with the customer, we don't look at $1, $2, but we say how we can make it $4, make it $5 and beyond that, yeah. So moving forward, CRAMS will be our driver, and that's where we are focused on to ensure a good supply and good quality product. And so far, all our customers, even after COVID, whoever have been visiting in the last 6 to 8 months have been very, very happy the way we have maintained and tried to ensure a good health safety environment, because that is very, very important. You know, I mean, we are a good manufacturing company, but, you know, looking after health safety environment is a priority. Yeah?
Sure. And sir, if you can talk about product pipeline for...
Would you kindly come back in queue for follow-up questions?
I've only asked one question, if you can allow me to ask the second.
I think let's finish that because we have another 8-9 minutes, yeah?
sure. I'll just wrap it up. So, you know, can you talk about our product pipeline for second half of this year, FY24 and FY25? How many products are we launching, the size of them, and how many of these products will be patented or off-patented?
Yeah, so, you know, as we have always said, because of the confidentiality, we cannot give you product name. But yes, I mean, the driver would be on the agrochemicals, technicals, which we will be making, which will be the growth. Product which today we are looking at, which would come in between 23 and 24, would be two in the agro and one in the specialty chemical. Yeah. I will not comment on the patented product because it's all under confidential agreement. So please excuse us or forgive us. We will not be able. But once, obviously, if, you know, everything is pipelined, we have had a okay from the customer, then we'll definitely inform very loudly, because that helps the visibility for you to know how the company is moving forward. Yeah.
And potential of this product, sales from this?
I mean, you know, as I said, we are looking at products anyway ranging between 25 to 50 million, going up between 50 to 100 million, yeah?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Vishal.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Harsh Beria, a professional investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a question about Punjab's power costs. If I look at it on an absolute basis, I think in FY22, we spent about 60 crores in power versus similar sized peers who make similar top line as ours, who generally spend 32 to 33 crores. So why do we have higher power costs despite us using rice husk, which is an agri residue?
I think, see, the what has happened in last 2 years after this farm bills, there has been a lot of restriction from the government on rice husk shelling and procurement. Now, that has definitely put rice husk availability itself under challenge. In fact, we have been very actively managing buying our rice husk, because some units in Punjab have actually either run out of the fuel itself, whereas we have ensured that the pipeline continues. That is the first thing. Second thing, some of our products are highly energy intensive. So it's not a fair comparison of top line versus the energy cost. Our products are energy intensive, and that's where more energy goes. So combination of these two factors actually is sort of that's where our energy cost is high.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. My second question is about, I think you talked about an Israeli customer visiting you this quarter, and we can see that you also have an Israeli customer which is very big in the fermentation space. So is it the same customer, and do you have fermentation capabilities in your plants?
We don't have a fermentation capability, but we do certain steps within that process for some of our customers. So we don't do fermentation per se, but one or two steps which are very critical, where very high level of controls are required and technical skills are required, we do certain processes in that value chain.
And would this be like a higher margin than your base business?
That's a higher margin than the base business, but it's a very, you know, that segment is not very big. So it takes time to grow that business. But yeah, it's substantially higher margin than our base business.
Okay. And my last question is about your CRAMS relationship. So in the newer CRAMS relationships which we are establishing, are we the first source or like an alternate source?
So it depends on the customer. So in many cases, we have been the first source. Moving forward, also, there would be a mix of both. Yeah. I would like to quantify the numbers. Because, you know, with the customer also, as many of you know, many of our customers, because, so I would not like to quantify it, but to answer, yes, in many cases, we have been the first source, and then we become, and in certain numbers where they look at a different supply chain as a second source, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for answering the questions.
Thank you.
I think we can take one or two, and then because again at 12:15 we have another call. So
yes, sir. We have the last question on the line of Rajesh Jain from NB Investments. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon to the team. Sir, my first question is, we are hearing two contradictory things. One is there is a recession in US and Europe, and we are hearing there is a lot of demand issues. On the other hand, over the previous con calls and even in the current con call, you have been saying you are receiving more and more inquiries from the existing as well as the new customers. So just wanted to join this and find out what is happening. Is there any delay in getting orders or deferment of the existing orders from these regions?
I think, Rajesh, recession, I think what people are talking of, which I also see in CNN or BBC or which I've seen, is generally more from a perspective of people traveling, spending money. But as far as, we are into agri. I mean, food is a problem worldwide, and people do want to eat. I mean, there is cost comparison. So I believe in our sector, there has been delay in registration processes, but by and large, could come in more robustic with the demand because, population is increasing, food is a must. Maybe as far as delay would be just for the adjustment of certain stocks, which maybe during the COVID time people have bought more. By and large, we don't see such things with our customers, but we have been always discussing with them on a quarter basis, sometimes on a monthly basis, to ensure, whether it's Latin America, US, Europe, Japan, Australia, and that's where we strongly believe that towards the business potential, we don't foresee, but maybe a recession which they are talking about is more from a spending point of view, and which today I could also say in the last, during Diwali and all, I mean, the traffic in Mumbai has been so nice. Even I've been to restaurants where, the people who you go to, regular customers, have said that people have been dropped. So I think spending power towards entertainment, towards traveling, towards this may have a slight delay, but we believe as far as the agri sector, I mean, food is something which is very, very important, and that will definitely continue. And especially here again, Rajesh, why I emphasize is China, because China is becoming very difficult for the world, and that's where I think India has a good opportunity, and we are thankful for the team we have created and the plants we have created that we are getting such inquiries on a daily basis. Yeah.
So I think I'll just put it right. We don't see this as a contradiction, because the interest from new customers is around obviously creating an alternate source to China, or capability which India as a country has developed and Punjab Chemical has developed. So that's where we see a lot of inquiries. So we don't see a contradiction between the pressure that is coming from the market versus the business opportunities that we are able to generate. So there is no contradiction if you see.
Okay. So is it fair to assume that our top line target of 1200 crores, during the current year and 1500 for the next year, so that should not be a challenge. Only the margins may vary plus or minus 1% based on various other factors. Is it a fair assessment?
I think it's a very fair assessment. And as I said, that maybe certain stock position may differ, maybe anywhere between 10 to 15%, but otherwise we are very much at target. Order book is strong. Maybe it gets delayed. Maybe it doesn't fall in Q3 or Q4. Maybe it gets delayed over the next year. But right now, the way we look at our trend, we are already at 550, 560. Moving forward, the quarter three looks perfectly fine. And we believe quarter four also should be perfectly fine, yeah?
That is very happy to know that, sir. My second question is regarding your
CapEx
program. Sir, I have only another second question is this.
I think let's take this last question and then close it, yeah?
No, sir, it's regarding your CapEx at Lalru unit. So the first on this is, have we got the EC approval for that? One is that. Second, based on whatever the CapEx schedule you have already planned out, is it enough to take care of this 1200 crores in the current year and 1500 crores of top line growth, whatever the CapEx is? Is it sufficient?
Environment clearance, we have everything in place, no issue at all. Okay. And your second question was, yes, the plant is capable more than 1500 crores. I would just add to that, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I will hand over to Mr. Najib Kale from Orient Capital for closing remarks.
Yeah, hi. Thanks everyone for participating on this call. I would also like to thank the management for sparing their time today. And for any queries, you can get in touch with us. Orient Capital is the investor relations advisor to Punjab Chemicals. Thanks to Team Antique as well. Thank you, Manish.
Thank you, Najib.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.